Leafs Nation postgame.
Let's go!
With Gord Stellick and Mark Savard. Brought to you by your local GTA Acura dealers. Visit yours today.
First shootout of the season for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we'll talk about that interesting choice of shooters by Mike Babcock, but ultimately it's a 5-4 shootout loss against the Philadelphia Flyers, who welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mike Zigomanis on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. We're from Mike Babcock in a few minutes' time. We'll check in with Chris Johnston joining us from Philadelphia. But the walk to the subway, or else the walk around the Wells Fargo building or whatever in Philadelphia. And what did you make of a game that had many, or a few anyway, momentum shifts, Mike?
Yeah, I like the way they kind of battled back into it. They get out to a quick start, give it up, but they stuck with it. And that's just something I like out of this team. They didn't kind of roll over. Anderson, even though giving up that many goals, I thought he had a great game. I mean, I don't think you can fault him on any of them. There are turnovers, there are tip-ins, there are pucks he didn't see. And with all the talk around, is he going to play the rest of the game? What kind of management they're going to have for him? I thought he showed that he's ready to go. I mean, the odd game or two, and then let's get going for Anderson in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's kind of like when they're good, they're extremely good. What we thought at the start of the season, the way they handled puck, the wizardry that way. And then particularly with Travis Dermott, Jake Gardner out of the lineup, when they're bad, they're bad. And defensively has been the shortcoming for the Leafs the last month. It's got to be a bit of a concern if they still have injuries on D. And we saw that again tonight in spots.
Yeah, you had Marinson on the first goal. They had a broken 3-on-2. Kind of let Couturier just walk in the blue line and fire one away. And it's tough because you give guys some space. You let them get a little bit of confidence. And then a team can get rolling. You get a team down 2-0. You want foot on the throat, Gord. Give them no space, no time. You give a guy like that, Giroux, some space out there. It makes it easy on them, and you let them come in like that. They get on the board. They kind of get back into it. So yeah, he Marinson with 13:27 tonight didn't play a whole lot. Tough on the first one. He had Ozhiganov with a turnover on one of the goals. He had another difficult night, and Zaitsev 24:44, maybe one of the better games he's played this season. But at the same time, who else do you put on the ice?
Well, it's interesting. You see in the overtime as well. You got Jake Muzzin on, you got Ron Hainsey, who I don't think ever imagined to be on. I mean, Dermott and Gardner are your number two and three guys skating-wise after Morgan Rielly, so you got to try a few things.
Yeah, Hainsey got the pass across the blue line. The Philly player kind of just backed off. He had the puck under control, and he backed off, fired it to the net, and got the change. That kind of reminded me when I played Gord. I took the face off, and I got off the ice as quick as possible. So yeah, Hainsey, no play at the blue line, fires one back towards his own net, gets off. Not for anything against, didn't make any mistakes, stay at home D-man, didn't want to really stand out.
The other thing is that, it's funny, I remember one of my favorite ones was Jay Beagle took the faceoff for the Washington Capitals when the puck drop, won it, was off the ice within 10 seconds, and he was replaced by Alexander Ovechkin, who scored 10 seconds later. So you're right, so if you can do those perfect kind of roles in overtime, that's the ideal situation.
Oh, I used to get the tap to go out for the draw, especially in my own end, and then I had to sprint off, and I had the coaching staff screaming at me because there was a player on one of the teams I played, number 87 by name of Sidney Crosby, who's had to go on the ice. So yeah, you want to get those stars on the ice as quick as possible. I like when you have those face-off guys. You had Gauthier take them. You've had Brown it sometimes take them, and it's a tough part of the game, and you don't really see that on the tube.
And you know, some of the other notes we look at, it was a night where, and we'll get the goals a little bit later on, so we'll hear Joe Bowen's calls as well when we come back, but it was a night where some guys that don't normally score for the Toronto Maple Leafs got in the scoring statistics.
Yeah, it's Kadri, how many games? What, 13 games? He had Nylander, 14 or 15 games haven't had a goal. So yeah, you want to get these guys on the board. Feeling confident, have confidence going into the playoffs. These guys have to be feeling good about themselves. And yeah, Kadri looked excited when he put that one in. Great play by Brown, and then Nylander. What a play by Matthew in the slot, kind of knocking that one down. The hand eye and Nylander kind of gave it a double tap, reeled it in, and with a big goal for the Leafs. And maybe that was the one where we kind of see Nylander turn the corner. Had Mike Babcock said he had his best game of the season against Florida last game. Comes in this one, ties it up. Had some flashes out there, some good chances, was creating chances. And yeah, this is hopefully this is it for Nylander. We see the 2017-18 Nylander that we're all used to.
And one other, you know, first in the shootout, Tyler Ennis. It was interesting, a guy that's sort of been on the back burner, a healthy scratch for a number of games, and he was your neutral zone spotlight, you know, player of the game. He played well, the one that we watched. And he picks him first for the shootout. The Leafs do not score in the shootout, and John Tavares, it shows it can happen to the best of them, right?
Well, I played in a game of the St. Louis Blues. I think it was Dennis Weidman, and he had one of the most embarrassing shootout goals ever. It's one of the one where he went to deke to his backhand, and he caught his back edge, and he must have cleared 2 or 3 feet off the ice with his feet in front of him. It looked like he was doing a high jump, Gord, and definitely one of the most embarrassing shootouts. John Tavares, that might be played in the Coliseum in Nassau with the Islanders, I'm sure, at some point in this next week. Because, yeah, that was bad. He lost the handle.
Well, they'll be there on Monday. Oh, I wonder if that's what they throw in there.
That might get played during a couple of the stoppages of play. But, yeah, that was quite embarrassing for him. Kind of just popped up on him and rolled. It can happen. Can happen to you, Gord. You know, it's tough sometimes. You're going on those breakaways. It's
yeah, except I would fall on the boards with it. That's the only thing. The puck might survive. I'd throw on the ball with it. But anyway, that was it. It was kind of, and he saw the humor in it. Unfortunately, boy, Couturier really jammed that. That was the only goal scored in the shootout. That was a nice one.
Yeah, that was a great move there. Kind of like faked one on his forehand, gave it a little half pump, went to the backhand, you know, waited Anderson out a little bit, then back to the forehand. So, yeah, what a goal by him. Didn't have much space on the ice there. Whenever you're deking to the forehand, it's really tough because you either have the empty net there or you got to get it up, and it's a little tougher on the forehand if the goaltender gets the pad over.
Well, we'll come back. We'll hear those calls from Joe Bowen and Jim Relf. They're always nice to hear. We'll check in with Chris Johnson. We'll join us from Philadelphia, Mike Babcock, and much more coming up. A 5-4 shootout win for the Philadelphia Flyers. As a matter of fact, the first shootout the Maple Leafs have been involved in all season long. They lose at 5-4 to Philadelphia. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mike Zygmantas on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Welcome back, Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mike Zygmantas on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network, a 5-4 shootout win over the Philadelphia Flyers, over the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, of course, we welcome you back, Sam McGee, the producer, Anthony Messina, technical assistance, and bringing the game for you tonight. Lots of goals. You ready to get at it, Mike?
Yeah, let's
break the mound to varying degrees.
Let's do it.
Well, the kind of momentum slides. Mike Babcock says start on time. Sometimes the Leafs haven't. They did start on time tonight in Philadelphia, and they strike first.
Brown heard footsteps of Gostis Bears. It's played around back of the net. Ennis trying to work the other side. Little stutter step now reverses his field. Now he's around back of the net. Backdoor play scores! Connor Brown! On a beautiful pass from Tyler Ennis, and it is 1-0 Toronto at 5:03 of the period.
5:03 mark, Connor Brown, his seventh from Ennis and Gauthier, and that fourth line strikes first, Siggy.
Yeah, I love the fourth line tonight. They came out flat a little bit off the start. The fourth line got them back into it. It was a good grinding shift down low. Great pass by Ennis, and you heard it from Mr. Bowen. What was that, a stutter step and a reverse pivot? It kind of looked like he was playing.
He's watching a bit March Madness, right, Joe? I think
saying he looked like he was playing in the March Madness. Scored it. Yeah, what a play behind the net! Kind of fooled Carter Hart in net with a spin around behind the net. What a play to Brown in front. Brown, not much. You could have tapped that one in, Gord.
Yeah, slam dunk, which I can't do. I can't slam dunk, but I could have tapped that one in. Hypothetically, hopefully. Well, another guy that had been in a bit of a slump, 2-time 30 goal scorer. Going to be hard-pressed to get 20, and our 20 is a good number. But here he is. He strikes the second goal.
Nice chip to get it ahead for Brown. Back for Ennis. Ennis trying to work in. Stop. Spins to the net, and it went just wide. Kadri on the far boards playing it in around back of the net. Comes to the side of the goal and in front. Now here's a pass in front for Kadri. Scores! The Flyers turn it over right in the slot. And Nazem Kadri hammers home number 16, 2-0 Toronto.
Yeah, he'd been cold of late. Nazem Kadri, goal number 16, and a second point of the game for Connor Brown at 12:02.
Yeah, Ennis doesn't get credit for an assist here, but he did a lot of the work to kind of force this turnover. Brown makes a good play in the slot, kind of doesn't dust it off, gets it to Kadri right away. And what Kadri does is does the same thing, kind of fires it, catches Carter Hart off guard, just sneaks in short side. Might have gone off his kind of left arm a little bit and didn't squeeze the post tight enough.
Well, 2-0 is what it is for the Toronto Maple Leafs after one period of play. They would shoot the Flyers 11-10. And then it just seems like, wow, what a change. And Ziggy will break down some of the defensive gaps that led to it. But give the Philadelphia Flyers credit. The second period ends up being theirs, and they strike relatively early.
Here's Marinchin. A pass ahead deflected in by Tyler Ennis. Down into the corner. Gauthier gets a piece of Ivan Provorov. Brown intercepts the pass, sends it back for Gauthier behind the net. Now to the near corner. He is knocked down on the play, able to get back up, but now the Flyers get the puck out at center ice. Pass onto the right side for Konechny. Down the right wing, a shot scores!
There we go, 3:39 mark. Thomas Konechny is 23rd from Sanheim and Lawton.
Yeah, they had a bit of some zone time, the fourth line again, and it's, Konechny kind of comes down the ice to get a little bit of speed through the neutral zone. And then Marinson accepting the 3-on-2. It has a forward coming back F3, but kind of lets Konechny walk right in. He takes the guy going to the net. Gord, Marinson has to hold his ice in this play. Konechny, a guy with a shot like that, you give a guy time. He comes in, absolutely rips it, glove side on Anderson. Anderson's playing a great game. And you can't fault him at all for that first one.
Yeah, I mean, you back up. And I think Freddie Anderson had to say, buddy, there's only room in this crease for one of us. He backed up so far, Martin Marinson. So good on Konechny for taking advantage of it. So this kind of opens the second period floodgates for the Philadelphia Flyers. They strike again.
Flyers send it down into the Toronto end. Anderson tucking it back behind the goal. Now Oshiganov had that caught up in his feet. Can't make a play. Flyers are able to get it back to the blue line. Near side now for Gudas. His long shot scores!
Well, there we go. Radko Gudas is fourth from Hag and Knight at 8:15.
Yeah, one of the plays, one of the things you want to get really tight going in the playoffs, Gord, is your exchanges between your goaltender and defense. Not sure what was happening behind the net, but looked like there was a little bit of miscommunication. Ozigenov with the turnover here to start the play for Philly. They kick it back up to the point. And yeah, Gudas makes a great play here. Just kind of sifting one into the net. Doesn't really look like he has a lane or anything. Just wants to get it on. He has Philadelphia player forwards going with traffic to the net. And it kind of has eyes and just knuckles kind of top left corner. And another tough one for Anderson. He can't fault him at all again.
Yeah, Radko Gudas there, and he gets the goal. And you know something? He's only given credit for one hit in the game. I was trying to look at his numbers. And
that was a big hit, though.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, I was
and
just going to say that.
Yeah, this is that guy. You got to keep your head up with him because he's pretty scared there, Gord. I was scared. I'm scared watching.
Well, and particularly the last thing you want to get is injuries this time. I mean, there was about as good a clean hit as Marner's taken all season long. So he got back up, and then Gudas scored a little bit later on. And if he's scared of Mike Zigomanis, then that is saying a lot. Well, the Leafs were scared of giving up the lead, and unfortunately that fear was realized later in the period.
Sondheim sending it around on the wall, back of the goal. Couturier couldn't trap it. Gets it again. Lindholm trying to help him out. Couturier against the boards, back to the point. Now Sondheim shot, deflects and scores!
15:48 mark, Sean Couturier, his 32nd. What a nice season he's having from Sanheim and Provorov.
Yeah, he kind of does it all over the ice. He's a guy that plays well on his own end, plays good away from the puck. He makes a great play, kind of out-hustles Riley to the net. Another one of those plays by the Philly D. They're just getting pucks to the net all game. This line had a lot of zone time against Matthews' line, outworked them down low. And yeah, like I said before, Couturier just beats Riley to the front of the net. Gets a little stick tip on it. He kind of knows he's going five hole. Another goal. He let this team back in with that first one. I don't want to say soft one by Konechny, but a play they could have prevented. And now all of a sudden you're down a goal in the second. You can't let teams like this crawl back into games. And now they're chasing it, Gord.
Yeah, 2-0 lead now. The Flyers lead 3-2. And how the tables have turned. Flyers outshoot the Leafs 18-13 in the second period of play. But it's the Maple Leafs that bounce back in the third.
Matthews won't get there, but he steals the puck. Matthews down the left wing, going in over the line with a shot. That's like the rebound scores! What a shot by Austin Matthews! The rebound off of Hart comes right to him, and he's almost on the goal line when he rattles in and off the post, and the game is tied.
Well, that's why you don't mind paying money if you have the money to watch NHL hockey, is to watch Austin Matthews play the 143 mark. Austin Matthews is 36 of the season unassisted.
When you talk about Matthews, you have other players in this conversation like Crosby, McDavid. But what Matthews does, and a guy like Crosby over McDavid, is they play great away from the puck. This is a great defensive play by Matthews, kind of blocks a shot, kind of bump in down low from Couturier. And he gets speed through the neutral zone, comes down that left, and we've seen that shot all the time. He doesn't give up on the play, Gord. He kind of picks the puck back up, finds it, and just puts one off that far post. Another great shot by him. A lot of guys can't make plays like that. He seems to always get this team back in it. He's done it a lot the last couple weeks, and this is the leadership they need.
Well, he ties the game up, but the Philadelphia Flyers, there's no quitting them.
Flyers chip it into the net on a bounce to Anderson, who scoops it back to the net for Riley, who gets it ahead for Nylander. Nylander on the left wing. Hainsey across the line, looked to return the favor, but it was out of the reach of the Leaf forward. Down the ice it goes. Anderson had to play it as it was on goal. No icing. Centering pass, scores!
There we go. They take the lead now. Ryan Hartman is 12 from Lawton and Knight at the 9-minute mark.
Yeah, Lawton makes a heads-up play here. Philly has jumped on Riley and Hainsey below the goal line. It was one of those plays where it was going to be icing. Anderson doesn't come out to play it, and I can't remember Riley giving up and causing, you know, giving up a turnover in his own end. Maybe one against Columbus early in the season, and hasn't really happened a lot. And yeah, it's a tough play for him, tough play for Anderson, another one you can't really fault him on.
Well, now Flyers have the lead. Can the Leafs come back? And I got to tell you, they really did apply the pressure on. They really did. The Maple Leafs turned it up, and it is the guy that needs to do more of this that does tie it up.
Riley slaps it in front of the net. Matthews couldn't spin to keep it alive, and it is played out at center and then quickly shot back into the Leaf end. Gostisbehere loses it in front of the goal. Shot scores! Willie Nylander ties the game.
Willie Nylander ties the game, his sixth of the year, from Matthews at 11:33.
I love this goal by Nylander, kind of bouncing on him like a football, knocks it down. Matthews makes a great play in the slot. Another great hand-eye play by Gostisbehere, kind of gives the puck away for Philly in their own end. And Nylander, these are the goals we want to see Nylander score. Big goals in big games. It's his first goal in 14 games. We need to see more out of him if this team wants to beat Boston that first round. They're going to rely on him at some point in the series. And yeah, had a great game in Florida, although Florida didn't have their greatest game. But seeing Nylander score this one against Philly when they're trailing, this is a great sign for Leaf fans.
15-11, the Leafs outshoot Philadelphia in the third period of play. So we have overtime. Overtime maybe didn't have as many of the glorious scoring chances, tough to say, glorious scoring chances you normally have in 3-on-3 overtime. 5-3, Philadelphia outshoots the Toronto Maple Leafs. So now we go to the first shootout of the season for the Toronto Maple Leafs at all, and they go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and then on shooter number 5, here is Sean Couturier.
Who is this now? It's Konechny, or no, Couturier in, stop, scores!
Yeah, stop, scores. He knew what he was doing, Sean Couturier, the only goal that was scored in the shootout.
If only it was that easy, Gord. Stops and shoots. Now, this is a player who comes in on his forehand, kind of pump fakes him, goes to the backhand, back forehand. Tough one on Anderson. It was a great move. A guy like Couturier, he does it all. Shootouts, scores big goals, plays well on his own end. And, yeah, Philly wraps it up here in Toronto. Although they had an okay game, they lose this one in the shootout.
I was a little worried about it being it looked like a groin pull special on that one in the shootout. But Couturier scores. Philadelphia wins 5-4 in a shootout over the Toronto Maple Leafs. They outshoot the Leafs 44-42 tonight. A 5-4 win for the Philadelphia Flyers in a shootout over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mike Zigomanis, joined by Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada, joining us from Philadelphia. Chris, you know, trying to, you know, we saw the ebbs and flows and different things. I mean, maybe are we getting a mix of how good the Leafs can be puck handling wise, but also these defensive concerns, which, I mean, they've really crept down as one of the worst defensive teams this past month.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a mixed bag. You know, I thought tonight's game featured a lot of good stuff, but clearly the second period was one that no one's going to want to rewatch the tape or look through because, you know, in addition to the fact that the Flyers scored three goals and took the lead after being down 2-0, they had a bunch of other chances that I thought Freddie Anderson made some good saves on. So, you know, that period was going in the wrong direction. And, you know, I have to be honest, you know, I'm not sure what to make of all this myself. You know, I don't know, you know, this team's sort of been playing at the string for a while now, more or less locked into third place in the Atlantic Division with no one threatening from behind and the Bruins doing nothing but win ahead of them. So, you know, it's been a little while since, you know, I reasonably thought they could try and chase down second in the division. And so, you know, I think there's some human nature in there. And you know, let's face it, most teams, no matter how good they are, don't play 60 good minutes. There's going to be stretches in the game where the other team pushes back or grabs momentum. But, you know, it's an interesting time. You know, it's a strange feeling around the guys right now. And, you know, I don't know if no one seems worried, but, you know, it feels a little incomplete at this point.
When you're looking at Anderson tonight, I thought he, you know, even though he let in four goals during the game, he still looked great in there, made big stops. But the talk now going around is how many games he's going to get in. So with load management, you got five games left. Do you kind of sit him the rest of these, let him get one or two in? Or, I mean, from his interview and when he was talking in the scrum the other day, yesterday, he kind of said that he wants to play a little bit more because he'll feel better. But at the same time, he's banged up. What do you think the best thing is for Anderson and the Leafs?
Well, I think there's a bit of divergent opinion here, Mike. You know, it clearly, if the Leafs just had their way and the coaching staff and the management, whatever, I think he'd be playing very little. I think he would have played less than he's already played here in March. You know, that was something that I believe they favored. You know, he's always been a goalie that says he's better when he's playing more often. And I suppose it's not any different than if you went and asked the forward if he wants to play more minutes. Everyone wants to play more generally. And so, you know, his preference is to get in more of these games. So, you know, Mike Babcock basically told us this morning that he won't play more than three of the five remaining after tonight. And, you know, I think that's the right way to go. But it's a tough balance when the player himself is more or less insisting or telling them when they're having these meetings about, you know, what he needs to get back to his best that he wants to play. And you know, I think ultimately you have to have some trust in your athlete. In this case, you know, Freddie Anderson is by far the number one goalie. It's not a situation like they even have in Boston where Yaroslav Halak, you know, for a time or for stretches has been the number one ahead of Tuukka Rask at points this season because there's you know, a little bit less gap between the performance they're getting from their two guys. I mean, the entire league season in many ways, I think, rests on Freddie Anderson's shoulders come playoff time. So, you know, you want to keep him happy, but you also want to save him from himself. And so I think they're trying to walk that sort of thin line right now, you know, trying to balance both ends of that. And, you know, it might simply not be possible, but, you know, I don't see any issue really in resting him. And so if he only gets two games, it's probably not the end of the world, but, you know, just know that he's lobbying behind the scenes to be playing more often.
You know, the other part is we talk about the positives and just some incredible skills, some really, really nice goals. And then on the defensive side, I mean, there's no Jake Gardner, there's no Travis Dermott. The perception is Calle Rosén would be the, you know, next call up, and you know, arguably with some or all of these three guys might be better than what they have right now. And I'm not trying to single them out, but particularly Martin Marincin on that first Flyer goal when he backed into Freddie Anderson. I mean, if the Leafs want to go deep in the playoffs, it seems, and these are their defensemen, they almost have to do what Chicago did that one Stanley Cup when they basically used three guys and used them to death and just tried to sneak a guy or two out there every now and then.
Yeah, and that's basically the plan. I think the good news is I wouldn't be surprised if Travis Dermott played Saturday's game. He wasn't down here in Philly, but he skated regularly. He joined practice as a full participant, or the morning skate, rather, before the game against Florida. And I would think with now a Thursday-Friday opportunity for potentially two practices for the Leafs. We haven't heard their schedule yet officially, but there was some rumor they might practice both days. You know, I think that there's at least a good opportunity that, you're going to see Dermott get back in. And, you know, with him being a left shot, I would expect he would go in place of Marincin. So, you know, we're at the point where if Marincin's playing meaningful games, it's only because there's been another injury. I don't think he's in their top six with Travis Dermott healthy at this point in time. And they do want to give Rosen some games. So, you know, they're going to move the pieces around here in the last week of the season and see what they can come up with a little bit. And you know, again, unless there's an injury that doesn't exist today, I just don't see Martin Marincin playing on April 11th when the Leafs open the playoffs in Boston. I don't think he's in the top six. And you know, that's probably a good thing because not to be too hard on the guy, but he had a really tough series when he had to go in against Washington 2 years ago. You know, spent most of last year in the American Hockey League. And, yeah, I just don't think the coach has much faith in him, much trust in him. And so, you know, I would think when you get to that series, there's an interesting development actually in that Bruins game against the Rangers is that they broke up that top line that really murdered the Leafs in the playoffs last year. Perhaps I'm wondering if it's to give them two lines where they feel comfortable going head to head with a Matthews line, a Tavares line from the Leafs end of things. But I would think defensively you're going to see Morgan Rielly, Ron Hainsey, you know, maybe even Muzzin and Zaitsev, who I think have maybe found a little bit of a groove here, you know, playing huge minutes. And whatever the Leafs bottom pair is, I don't think it'll be used too much in those games against Bruins.
Now, when you look at the forward group, there's been some little bit of concern. You got Nylander with one, I believe, in his last 14. You got Johnsson one in his last 14. Sorry, Nylander, one in his last 15. You got Kapanen, one in 17. Kadri, one in 13. Brown, 2-25. Marleau, 2-14. What's the biggest concern? Who would you be most concerned about of those six players and how they haven't been able to score the last, I mean, there's 12, 15, 25 games there?
Well, I think the good news is the guys you mentioned scored tonight. And so you hope that there's a shot of confidence that comes with those goals for Kadri, for Nylander, for Brown getting 1-1 there in the first period. You know, the Leafs have actually been, you know, struggling with the secondary depth. I mean, Matthews has had a big month. Tavares has had a big month. But, you know, they haven't been getting a lot from Benito's guys. And you know, I do think come playoff time especially that you know, getting that Kadri line going with Marleau, you know, could be a bit of an X factor for Toronto. If those guys are able to have an impact on those games in a positive manner, you know, likely getting, you know, some of the lower competition from the Bruins end of things, I mean, that could be one of those small differences in the series because, you know, based on what I've seen, I do think guys like Marner, Tavares, Matthews, you know, they're gonna put up points. They're going to generate goals just as Bergeron, Pasternak, you know, the same thing on their end of things from Boston. And so, you know, sometimes it's those guys a little bit more in the margins, and that's, you know, where Nazem Kadri is at this point. I would say I've been most worried about him just because I do think he still has the ability to have a big impact on what the Leafs do. And you know, I've seen a guy that doesn't look as engaged. You know, obviously he's lost his role a little bit with Tavares coming here. He's not playing the minutes at 5-on-5 that he was accustomed to the last few seasons. And, you know, I do think that there's been a tough adjustment there for him, maybe just, you know, not playing as much, not getting the matchup role like he had, especially the last three seasons under Mike Babcock, that you know, maybe he's a bit adrift. And so, you know, if he and Marleau can get their games going and be contributing and, you know, coming out where they're getting an even strength pull here and there, you know, I think that could be huge for the Leafs in a couple weeks' time.
Well, we will catch you on Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday. We'll talk to you a lot next week. It's weird because it's like, you know, now we have this 2 week preview knowing exactly what's going on for the first round of the playoffs, but it sure beats not being in the playoffs. So we look forward to that. Chris, thanks very much as always.
And Gord, you and I had enough of those days talking. Oh, yeah. There was no chance of the playoffs at this time of year. So we'll take this instead.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. You're absolutely right. Through thick and thin, Chris Johnsson always came on. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Chris Johnsson in Philadelphia. The Maple Leafs 5-4 loss in a shootout to the Philadelphia Flyers. One more piece of business. And Mike Zygmunt, you got to pick the hardest working Leaf. The hardest working Leaf brought to you by Direct Energy Business, providing energy solutions for Canadian businesses. And who do you pick as the Direct Energy hardest working Leaf tonight?
I usually go with kind of like a bottom six, fourth liner, Gord, because I've been in that spot. But I really like the game from Austin Matthews tonight, kind of all over the ice, creating chances. You know, he gets one, a big goal to kind of pull them back into it in the third period. And yeah, just kind of did it all over the ice today. Like I said, he plays great away from the puck. He made some good defensive plays. And I'm going with one of the big horses.
Auston Matthews is our direct energy hardest working Leaf of the game. I like that because Auston kind of gets short shrift in that sometimes.
Sorry, big cactuses.
Big cactuses. There we go.
Big cacti.
Big cacti.
Okay.
Yeah, cacti, cactuses. Doesn't matter. Direct energy. They'll get it all settled for you. We'll be back on Saturday, Leafs Nation post game, right after the game in Ottawa against the Ottawa Senators coming up. And more coming up. It's a 5-4 shootout loss to the Philadelphia Flyers. You're listening to Leafs Nation post game, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Oh, good. Let's go to Mike Babcock. That's right. Yeah, of course. That's what you said. Babs on the thing. One more thing. Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock. I guess. There you go. I've been the hardest working guy, so I'm a little. Here he goes. After the 5-4 shootout loss.
Played a real good first period, and then whatever happened in between the first and second, they decided to really dig in, and we got careless with the puck. Had a lot of turnovers in the second period. We got back in the game, and, you know, they're a team with a ton of offensive skill. You know that before you come in here, if you want to get into a run-and-gun game, it's going to be like it was. We still had lots of opportunity to win the game. In the end, we didn't win the game. I really liked their start. I was disappointed because I think we've really worked hard to get our game back here of late. I was disappointed in our second period. I thought we let ourselves down with that. There's no reason to be careless with the puck and not take care of it. There's just no reason, especially for a team that's trying to do what we're trying to do. And so that part disappointed me. But like I said, they got good offensive players that make it hard on you. And so if you get in a run-and-gun game and the young D, they're active in the back end, they make it hard.
There was a game within the game with the Matthews group and the Couturier line. How did you see that play out from your end of things?
Well, I just thought that the other night when Matty played head-to-head, who did we just play?
Barkov.
Yeah, I thought they did a real good job being above him. Tonight was more run-and-gun and just trading chances. So obviously I like the other approach much better because I think you end up on the plus side and you end up scoring and winning that way. This probably was more entertaining for the fans.
Do you like the fight back in the third? John was saying, you know, they had to fight to get their game back.
Well, we had to because what we did is we gave them life, right? So we had to battle our way back. There's no question about that. I didn't mind our first. I didn't mind our third. The second got us in trouble. And, you know, on a team that is in the position they're at, if you come out and you just do it right and you give them no life, you make it hard on them. But we gave them some life there in the second period.
There was pretty obviously, you know, four you don't like, but he felt like he made some big saves. You like his fight in tonight's game?
Well, I thought, you know, it's important for us to get Freddie at his highest level. I thought in the second period we gave up grade A opportunities. Now, I haven't been through them all on video, but grade A opportunities, and I thought he was really good and gave us an opportunity. So, you know, that's good for him. He also gave us an opportunity in the shootout. We didn't score any goals.
Do you see them as confidence builders for Kadri and Brown and some of these guys?
Well, I think, you know, Brownie's 1-1 right away at the start of the game. I thought Enzo came in and gave us a real good game. So those are positive things for anybody who hasn't scored in a while. When you score, it's like adrenaline going through your bones, and I think that's a positive thing. So we need a few more guys before we're done here.
There we go. Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock after the 5-4 shootout loss. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelick, Mike Zigomanis on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Let our trained professionals help you come down from the high of the game here on the Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelick, Mike Zigomanis on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. You know, just interesting chatting with Chris Johnson, and we're talking about it, and of course, our conversation as well. So you talk about the game, the 5-4 shootout loss, and then it's like this. Well, it's probably been like a month long, but now it's certainly the last couple of weeks, just being able to take a look at facing the Boston Bruins in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Bruins tonight beat the New York Rangers 6-3, by the way, but Chris mentions them. They're a one-line team that killed the Leafs last year, although it was a seven-game series. People seem to forget that, but that was just dominant. And breaking them up, trying breaking them up right now because they're worried about the depth. You've got, you know, John Tavares there as your second center rather than Kadri, who moves to number three, and Tyler Bozak not there anymore. So that's interesting. Some of the both sides thinking about what they need to do for what should be another epic battle.
Yeah, when you got that Bergeron Marchand line, it's at this point, if I'm coaching the Leafs scored, I need a line to shut them down. Because at this point, I don't want to go head to head with them and just try to beat them. I'd love a shutdown line on them. And then the Toronto Maple Leafs with this lineup should be able to beat the Boston Bruins with those other three lines. If you look at their depth, if you look at the guys they have, I know you've had some guys struggling on the bottom six, but if you match them up, I put the edge to the Leafs, and that is going to be the biggest difference. Obviously, goaltending, special teams, depth guys, how well the D do, how well, you know, 4, 5, and 6 D do. But at the end of the day, the depth forwards for the Toronto Maple Leafs have to beat the Boston Bruins.
And mentioned 6-3 win tonight. And boy, David Pastrnak, 3 goals, 2 assists in that game. You're just talking about that. Other games going on, and these are really big playoff implication games. Colorado Avalanche now a 2-0 lead in the first period over the Vegas Golden Knights. Matt Calvert, Nathan MacKinnon are the goal scorers so far for Colorado. And another big game, the Dallas Stars at the end of one. They lead the Calgary Flames 1-0. Alexander Radulov is 25th of the season. So those are the two teams of the four games tonight. Dallas looking to enhance their wild card spot, and Colorado more after the second wild card spot in the West right now.
Well, that's going to get them both even with Arizona right now, but it's going to give Colorado a 2-game edge with the tiebreaker, and that's going to push Dallas 5 points ahead of Arizona. So that's going to be tough for the Coyotes with 5 games remaining. Really tight there. Minnesota now makes it even tougher. Looks like they're going to be 4 points and 7 points back of the 2 wildcard spots. So they look like they're kind of out of it at this point. But yeah, tight race there in the West.
Shots on goal. And again, you know, look, or just stats in general. So anything catches your eye. I'm looking at it right now. And 44-42, Philadelphia outshoots Toronto. Of the 42 shots, though, for Toronto, Austin Matthews gets 6 of them. So Austin Matthews fires 6 shots. You know, using guys a lot. Jake Muzzin plays 26 minutes, 47 seconds, which is the most. Morgan Riley plays 25 minutes. Nikita Zaitsev over 24. Hainsey, 22. I think he's almost cognizant about not overplaying Ron Hainsey that way, but really going with 4D that way. Let's see, Austin Matthews ice time, 20:55. John Tavares, 20:48. I know you feel the same, but Savvy likes to see them in the 20-minute mark that way. Anything else jump out at you?
Yeah, you get the 20 minutes for Matthews, but you got the overtime in there, and he was on the ice, what, two and a half minutes in the OT frame. But yeah, Tavares, too, with over 20 minutes. I don't mind. I like the way they're not extending those top guys now. See, now there's no excuse going into the playoffs. Guys can't be tired. Matthews missed a chunk of games. But yeah, at this point, you got the Winnipeg Jets. They play Scheifele and you know, Wheeler. They play them a ton of minutes. They're 22, 23 minutes some games. So these guys haven't played a lot all season. Now they should be fresh mentally, physically. 5 games to go in the season, and they should be feeling good about themselves.
By the way, I should say something. I mentioned Austin Matthews, 6 shots. How about William Nylander, 7 shots? There we go. So Nylander had 7 shots. That led the Toronto Maple Leafs, 8 shots for Travis Konechny led the Philadelphia Flyers. So, you know, Nylander, that, again, it's only a 6th goal of the season, but it tied it up. It was an important goal. And in the shootout, I mean, it's the first time they have, so who they had? They had Tyler Ennis went first. They had Nylander. They had Matthews. Tavares had the unfortunate gaffe that way. And I'm trying to remember if the other one was
Kaplan. Marner.
Marner, that's right, Mitch Marner. So those were the 5. And 0 for 5 in the shootout this time, including Johnny T. And you mentioned, I wonder if they'll play that in Long Island Monday.
Losing that puck there, that's definitely getting played on the scoreboard. Yeah, I was a little shocked. I mean, I love Ennis and I love my fourth liners, but I was a little shocked him getting the second shootout attempt for the Leafs. He must be scoring in practice or something. I've played for coaches where if a guy scores, we do shootouts at the end of practice, and whoever scores the shootout, you'd get the chance in the next game. So I doubt Mike Babcock does that, but I know some teams do that, and it's nice to see a guy like that who doesn't get a lot of ice, but someone who's good in the shootout.
Well, the coach may be giving him a little bit of love as well. Like, it's funny, you keep guys off guard. He's probably wondering, why have I been a healthy scratch so many consecutive games, being Tyler Ennis, And then he's the first shootout shooter for the Maple Leafs this entire season. They're the last team in the NHL to have a shootout, this being their first of the season. We will come back and continue to discuss things. We'll hear from many of the players involved in tonight's game. It was a 5-4 shootout loss on the road for the Toronto Maple Leafs in Philadelphia. They pick up that 1 point. They really can't go up. They really can't go down in many ways. It's in cement who they're going to play in the first round of the playoffs, that being the Boston Bruins, with the Bruins having the home ice advantage. But there's still some regular season games to go. Gord Stelic, Mike Zigomanis with you. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Introducing Neutral Vodka Soda, Canadian-made craft refreshment. 0 grams of carbs, no added sugar, no preservatives. Pretty sweet, eh? Actually, no. It's not sweet. Not at all.
A lot's changed in the last 40 years since Molson Canadian became the proud partner of the Toronto Maple Leafs. The league kept getting faster, so the Leafs, well, they became one of the fastest. And as some Leafs legends hung up their skates, a new generation's begun to lace theirs. But what's remained the same is that our fans never stop bleeding the blue and white. So bring that passion to Krabby Joe's, where you can enjoy $5 Molson Canadian draft during Leafs games and half-price appetizers after 9 p.m. Offer available for a limited time only. Must be legal drinking age.
Insurance companies aren't fooled by television actors pretending to be tough lawyers or law firms that claim to be the best, only to sell your case to others. At Bergmanis Pereira, we built our reputation among peers and in the courtroom where it matters. We offer compassionate and dignified legal representation of accident victims. Our experienced lawyers will handle your case personally and see that you get the compensation you deserve. And our no-fee guarantee means that you don't pay until your case is settled. Bergmanis Pereira Personal Injury Lawyers. Time-tested, trial-proven. Visit us at bplawyers.ca.
Introducing Neutral Vodka Soda, Canadian-made craft refreshment. 0 grams of carbs, no added sugar, no preservatives. Pretty sweet, eh? Actually, no. It's not sweet. Not at all.
Time for a little hockey-talkie. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mike Zigomanis on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. We'll hear from Austin Matthews, Freddie Anderson, John Tavares, Nazem Kadri, William Nylander, all talking about tonight's game, that 5-4 shootout loss. Yeah, a couple of things. We mentioned that a town scores. This is the first time we saw the clip of Alexander Radulov's goal. That was a pretty nice one, huh? Pretty sweet,
yeah,
for the Dallas star player.
Pretty good mitts coming through. Looks like he kind of walked through the whole team there over the blue line. Nifty little play to the backhand, and they do that old, forehand backhand five hole. I never had that one in my toolbox, but I always enjoy watching the highlights, Gord.
What did you have in your toolbox?
Let's see. I got a face off on my backhand.
A plunger.
I could warm the middle of the bench fairly well, better mm-hmm. than most. And just one of those good cheerleaders on the bench. You know, if a guy needs a bottle, Gatorade, you know, you never know what a guy needs.
Yeah.
Towel. Well,
PJ Stock talks about once that he went in the Ranger dressing room, there were gummies or something like that. And he grabbed some and he had them and he kept them in his glove because he never played. And then all of a sudden he had to go out there. Something happened physical. And then they got challenged. He got in a fight. And when he pulled his glove off, about, 12 gummies went on the ice that way. So you got to be careful the role of the occasionally used player, but valued player that way. The other part is, injuries. And we kind of just said he was never going to be hurt. But, man, Mitch Marner, Radko Gudas, not many guys have open ice hits like that. Hit him pretty good early on. We see Paul Byron now. He's not with the Montreal Canadiens for a game in Columbus. The guy's got 15 goals, 15 assists. He's plus 17. And for whatever the hell, been going back and forth between Florida and Montreal, he gets engaged early on. And, man, that's a big loss for them if he's not able to play. But one, you just mentioned, it's been a lot of games now. I think it's about 5 games in a row Malcolm Subban has played in goal for the Vegas Golden Knights. And so Marc-Andre Fleury, they just said, tweak something or just a little thing. But he certainly has played a ton of games, and he must have tweak something, say, pretty good. That's got to be a worry if you're the Vegas Golden Knights as you get close and you hate goaltending injuries.
Well, he's only played one game in the last 18 days for them. And, yeah, Subban slots in again for Vegas, and they don't seem like they're really missing a beat at all. This team had a great season last year. People were kind of counting them out this year, saying that was a one-off for them. It was a fluke. But, yeah, how about the season they had? They look even better now. They make a couple big signings, a couple big trades. Looks like they're always trying to get better. But yeah, for this goaltending situation, I don't know if he pulled something, or is it that 60-game goal mark? Because right now, Marc-Andre Fleury is sitting at 59 games. And if you look at the last 5 years, Gord, every Stanley Cup winning team, their goaltender, starting goaltender, didn't play over 60 games. So I believe this was the 61st for Anderson. I got to look that up. But I know he was hovering around 60, and that's it's one of those things where if you look at stats and how much the workload these goaltenders do get, it's interesting if you do look at the last 5 years.
It's funny when we look going in the playoffs. That a couple of years ago, Pittsburgh won the Stanley Cup with Marc-Andre Fleury, but Jeff Zatkoff got the start in the first game. They had to use their number three goaltender. So in which case, both him and Matt Murray got healthy and were able to play later on in the playoffs. And then last year, it wasn't health reasons, but the Washington Capitals win the Stanley Cup, and a lot of people forget it was Philip Grubauer that got the net for the first two games, that there were concerns about Braden Holtby, which there aren't anymore, and there certainly aren't concerns about Marc-Andre Fleury, just more about guys being injured. Like in Winnipeg, they're saying Dustin Byfuglien and Josh Morrissey could return. Byfuglien has been hurt more games than he's played, so you start getting those kind of things going. I mean, Minnesota, they never really bounce back from a Matt Dumba injury. I mean, those kinds of injuries just kill you.
Yeah, I mean, you get your top guy, if he's scoring a lot of goals, and at the time, Dumba was a leading goal scorer among defense. So you have that guy, or you got a guy like...
In the league, yeah.
Of the league, yeah. And it's a difficult situation. You hear Mike Babcock talk about depth and the players there getting the opportunity to come in. So what are those players doing to get get that spot, gain that ice time, be the next guy in line? And yeah, you see, look at the Boston Bruins. We can kind of complain here in Toronto that you have Gardner and Dermott out of the lineup, but this is a chance for Marinson and Hall to kind of get in, and they've been sitting out the whole season. At the time, Hall only had three games the first three quarters of the season. And then you get a guy like, Cali Rosen. We might see him in the next five games. He deserves it. I've seen him a lot in the minors. He's been out with an injury, but that's definitely the next guy in line and somebody the Leafs want to take a serious look at.
Yeah, the word was, I believe the Marlies play on Friday. Is that correct? So they wanted Cali Rosen to play one game, at least one game with the Marlies before he played with the Toronto Maple Leafs, if he's going to be recalled by Toronto. Well, we're talking about goaltenders on the Leafs side. A lot of shots Freddie Anderson is seeing of late. They get outshot 44-42. That's a lot of shots, 44 shots on goal. And it was a strong effort. And let's hear from the chilled, unflappable Freddie Anderson after the 5-4 shootout loss.
An opportunity to finally participate in a shootout, but I guess it's something you go through in practice at various aspects during the course of the season. What was it like out there tonight with the ice being as chippy as it was?
I don't know. I didn't really notice ice at all, so you've got to ask the players that. We've been lucky not having to go too many shootouts, so it is what it is. So. I think both goalies were doing well in the shootouts, and obviously they came out on top. But I think overall the game, I thought we played some really good hockey, and then they kind of pushed back a little bit. Obviously we didn't step up to that in the second period, but first and third I thought we played really well.
How did you feel tonight?
I feel fine. Feel good. Made some good saves, and obviously they came pretty hard in the second, and kind of came back, and that's how hockey was.
Did they up the forecheck in the second period, especially after what we saw in the first, where Toronto was able to move about with a lot of time and space in the zone?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it was, but they're definitely able to sustain some more pressure on our end, and spend more time in our zone. So, but I thought we came out great in the third, and got a point out of it.
There we go. It's there's never a fuss with him, and it is interesting because we heard Mike Babcock earlier just saying the fact that they want to rest him, but also Freddie feels, because he's had some injuries, he just feels, let's say, out of sorts, but he actually wants to play. So it's kind of an interesting dilemma about do you do you call play the trump card, rest him more, or do you let him play?
Well, it's tough. Yeah, I mentioned before I thought it was around 59. It was actually 56 before tonight. So tonight gets him at 57. And we said that magic number for starting goaltenders is 60. And the last 5 years, the Stanley Cup champion starting goaltender has not played over that 60-game mark. And it's interesting to see if he'll play two or more games going down the stretch in these last five. But yeah, it's a little bit confusing because you got a guy that says he wants to play a little bit more, but at the same time, he says he's banged up. So when you're a coaching staff or you're the goaltending coach, how much do you want to give your starter? So yeah, it's a tough situation to kind of decipher. Mike Babcock, obviously he's been spoken about how he has talked to Anderson and the goaltending coach, and I'd be shocked if he played more than two games. I'd lean to the side of just giving the guy some rest. I talked to a couple of former NHL goaltenders. They said maybe one or two, maybe play that last game before the playoffs and just rest up. Doesn't matter what the guy likes to do or what he prefers with. But yeah, you want to feel good about yourself going in the playoffs, Gord, and you got to keep him happy. So whatever he requests at this point, I think Mike Babcock's kind of giving him the keys.
And the rest as well. You wanted to integrate the 5 and 60. Marinson got 13 minutes, 27 seconds. Ozaganov, 8 minutes, 29 seconds. So he seems to have a little more faith in Marinson than he has in Justin Hall minutes-wise, even though Marinson was brutal on that first Philadelphia goal. I think in Ozaganov's case, he just more felt the pressure on the second, a couple of flyers coming at him.
Yeah, it's tough. He only played 8 minutes in the game. Not sure how much he played after that giveaway on the second goal. It's tough when you're only playing 8 minutes, even for a forward when you're getting that number. I like that 11, 12-minute mark if you're a fourth liner. But for a defenseman, 8.5 minutes is not a lot. Did give the puck up on the second goal. Little bit of miscommunication with Anderson behind the net, and Philly just jumped on him, and they were doing that throughout the second period. So I can't really center Ozaganov because you had a Riley giveaway, you had Marinci giveaway, but yeah.
Yeah, Ed, as he said, the Maple Leafs, one of the worst defensive teams the last month, and that's something they have to get a handle on, whatever the reasons may be, before the playoffs. We'll hear more. Auston Matthews, John Tavares, Nazem Kadri, William Nylander, all coming up. It was a 5-4 shootout win for the Philadelphia Flyers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mike Zigomanis on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Welcome back. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mike Zigomanis on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's a 5-4 shootout win for the Philadelphia Flyers over the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. And Mike, then they head to Ottawa on Saturday. Some interesting games next week. Monday, they're in Long Island taking on the New York Islanders. John Tavares' second visit back. Then you have to think everything's going to cool down, I would think. But still, or what do you think? You know New York a little bit.
Yeah, you know what? John Tavares is going to want a little bit of redemption. That game, the Islanders just completely stunned the Toronto Maple Leafs, and Tavares was nowhere to be found on the ice. The whole Leaf team kind of let him down. Whenever you go back with a guy from that team, it's a little bit of a revenge game, they call it. I don't know if you've heard that term before, but it is the revenge game. You want to get the team that you last played on and get them. At the same time, the Islanders, when you get your captain and star player leaving the team, you want to show him what he's missing. And so far, the Islanders this season has shown Tavares how good they can be without him.
Well, I'll tell you what, then after that, a big game they host against the Carolina Hurricanes. Then they host Tampa Bay. Then it could be a big game in Montreal next Saturday. So we will, of course, for all 82 Leaf games, we're on with Leafs Nation postgame right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And we will come back, hear from many of the Leaf players involved in tonight's game. Lots going on otherwise. We mentioned Kendrys Morales traded by the Toronto Blue Jays, to the Oakland A's. There, I got to adjust my baseball hat. So we'll hear a little bit about that, and we'll come back with more Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mike Zigomanis on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Breaking down, what's up?
What's up?
This is Leafs Nation Post. game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealer, Sportsdelic Mike Zigomanis on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. 5-4 shootout loss to the Philadelphia Flyers tonight, and we'll hear from some of the players tonight, Mike, that played. Boy, Austin Matthews, a man possessed, isn't he? He's really got his game.
Yeah, he's been playing really well lately. Team hasn't been their greatest, not as sharp. He's kind of taking them by the reins, really showing why he should be the captain on this team. Definitely one of the leaders. But yeah, when things aren't going well, he seems to be the guy as of late. And they're going to need a guy like that in the playoffs in a couple weeks against Boston.
One goal, one assist. He was plus one. He had six shots on net, 20 minutes, 55 seconds of ice time. Let's hear from Austin Matthews.
A crazy game, Austin. Just go to the shootout. I don't want to make light of it, but not much practice on it this year as far as our games are concerned. That lend anything toward the fact that you guys weren't able to score here tonight in that aspect?
Yeah, I think it was our first one of the year, but yeah. I mean, we got plenty of skill, plenty of guys that can obviously handle the puck quite well and try to score. So I think, you made some good saves. I thought a couple guys, good shots. It looked like it was open from our point of view on different ones, but goalie made good saves. I mean, Freddie made some big saves as well, and just took one.
Perspective on the first three periods, great start, second, and then the third, how did you see
that? You just said it right there. First was pretty good, second was not so good, and then third, we finally started playing again. And it was a bit of a dogfight back and forth, and then, it's a close game, obviously goes into shootout.
Can you take some positives from the third, the way you were able to rally?
Yeah, I thought, especially we started playing more in the O-zone, kind of just hemming them in and not as many just one and done, just staying on the puck and creating havoc and opportunities and just built off a bit of what we were doing in the first. And obviously we want to clean up whatever we were doing in the second. It wasn't good enough. They came out and they competed and they got all over us and obviously made it a game.
Is it positive that there's a bunch of slump busters tonight, Connor, William, and Alec?
Yeah, that's good. I think we pride ourselves in our depth, and we got goals coming in from numerous different lines. I think that's obviously great.
Austin Matthews, and he was one of the guys had a shootout opportunity as well.
Well, he didn't lose the puck, Gort. So
no.
that was a positive.
Well,
we're looking for positives in the last couple weeks here. He didn't lose the puck on a shootout.
No, he didn't. And the guy who did, we'll hear from in a second. It was funny, some of the shootout plays as well that we had. James Van Riemsdyk and our guy Sam McGee said right away he's going to go backhand, which he's done before, but it was really a pedestrian backhand right into Freddie Anderson's pads there. There really wasn't there wasn't a lot of even close chances on the shootout until Sean Couturier ended it all.
Yeah, no, both goaltenders I thought played a great game. And you usually don't say that enough, and both let in four, but Hart and Anderson seemed to shut the door. They had a lot of grade A chances on both sides. But yeah, it's one of those things where look at the chance that Tavares had in overtime. He's all alone off the goal line out of the corner and puts the puck wide. It's one of those things where, oh, well, why'd the guy just go upstairs? Why didn't he just deke him? But sometimes when a goaltender shuts you down, it forces you to make a play you don't want to. And it looked like Tavares didn't have anything. And if you looked at all four shooters for the Leafs in the shootout, Carter Hart, he's really good. He's a little bit aggressive. And it seems like he's doing that good of a job in his early career at reading what players are going to do and reading plays.
Well, speak of the devil or speak of the Tavares, you're right. He had a glorious chance in overtime and also an unusual shootout attempt. We might hear from that here. He was minus two for the night, one shot on net, 20 minutes, 48 seconds. There's been better days for John Tavares. Here he is postgame.
John, just asking Fred about the ice and the chippiness on the shootout. Just how chippy was it in terms of not enabling you to keep control of the puck?
Yeah, I mean, it just, I went to stick handle and kind of make my way towards net. I was just trying to get the goalie kind of off his, out of position and trying to lose the feel of his net, and just bounced up on me and rolled away. It is what it is. It's obviously a tough time for it to happen. So, at the end of the game and, how hard, obviously, teams are competing and skating on it. Sometimes that stuff happens.
What did you see on the chance in overtime, John?
Yeah, I obviously I felt I had a good amount of time. I just tried to be a little wary of the poke check, and then I thought he might think I was going to the far side trying to beat him there, and then I just tried to go back against the grain and just under his glove, and I thought I had a decent look at it. I just didn't hit my target.
You guys practiced it at times, but first shooter of the whole season. Is there any added rust because of that?
I just lost the puck. Right. It is what it is. I mean, you know, just move on and, you know, obviously look for a better result next time.
Did we get a good look at Mitch tonight and what he's able to do with the puck to create offensive opportunities? You got to feel very good about it moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, you know, it's what he does. He's obviously special at it. And, you know, it was a really good start for us tonight. And then we kind of had to find our game again after we gave up the lead. And, you know, unfortunately, we didn't get the result. But we, you know, we kind of kept fighting, stuck with it, battled back from a couple deficits. And you know, we had I felt our line had some opportunities, especially in the second half of the game. Couple in overtime, so just keep staying with it, and obviously when we get our chances, we want to put them in.
How positive might it be that a couple of guys got off some goal slumps tonight? William Potts is first in 13, Nas, Connor.
Yeah, I mean, you know, contributions throughout the lineup are huge, so especially the type of team we have, the depth we have. Great to see those guys get rewarded for their hard work, and you know, sometimes you're playing well and things just don't go your way. Sometimes you just need a fortunate bounce or you know, you're going to make good plays as they're good players. And they did that tonight, scored some big goals for us. So huge for them. Good to see them get rewarded.
Yeah, I didn't bite much about – he's not a guy that does do a lot of fun things in his interviews. Pretty serious, pretty focused. But I don't think I've seen that in a shootout, just losing it to the extent that it goes against the boards and basically it's dead. Like you're dead before you started. There was not even anything close to a shot attempt.
Yeah, I mean, first off, John Tavares' interviews, there's not going to be much anything special, Gord. They're you know, pretty monotone, doesn't give away much. Keeps it as cliche as possible. But yeah, now back to the shootout attempt by him. I've never seen one hit the boards before and stop dead like that, but I have seen Weidman in St. Louis back in 2005, and he kind of lost control on a backhand and got about 3 feet of airtime. So yeah, it's pretty embarrassing when that kind of stuff happens, but it does happen once in a while during the season.
Yeah, one of those games. He got 4 goals the other night and just was not happening for him tonight. Nazem Kadri, boy, what was it, first goal in 13 games?
Yeah, I got Kadri at, yeah, first and 13.
Well, he gets a goal, plus one, 3 shots on net, 15 minutes, 17 seconds of ice time, and did well, 10 and 6 in the faceoff circle as well. Here he is after the overtime loss.
As you get an opportunity to score, it's one goal over 65-plus minutes of hockey. What does it mean to you personally moving forward to get one and know you've had chances, especially the last couple of
games? Yeah, I mean, that's been the story. I have a couple good looks every single game, and, you know, that's kind of the motivating factor is just to keep pushing and have that patience. And I think I've been around long enough to understand that, you know, it's going to go in sooner rather than later. And, you know, it was nice to get one tonight. Just the sloppy second period, I think, you know, is where we hurt ourselves. You know, overall through 40 minutes, I think we played a pretty solid road game. But that second period, they pushed and we didn't have an answer. So, you know, that put us behind a little bit.
Is there concern at all now as that period like that pops up with the playoffs just around the corner?
I don't think so. To be honest with you, playing a full 60 minutes is tough to do. I mean, that's no easy task. And especially on the road, you know, sometimes momentum's not going to be in your favor. And you feel like you're, you know, defending a lot. So that's going to happen. I think we just got to understand to, you know, push through that momentum swing throughout the couple minutes or period, whatever it may be, and, you know, try to come back and fight for the momentum back.
In the big picture, what's it been like to play these games where the standings are kind of set already and sort of prepping for the big dance, I guess?
It's not much fun. I mean, it's nice to play for something, but you know, we've worked hard to put ourselves in this position, and you know, there's no sense having a setback. I think you know, moving towards the playoffs, it's important to be playing some pretty good hockey. But these games are preparation for us, and fact of the matter is we still got you know, a few less.
John's got 45. You see him, you know, dice is something to do. He loses the puck on the shootout. Is that just something that could happen to anyone?
Yeah, watching the replay, I mean, it's pretty obvious that the puck just kind of caught up on end and bounced over his stick. So things like that are going to happen. And you know, John's a talented goal scorer, so you know, in the shootout. I trust him to do his thing.
Yeah, Nazem Kadri, we'll hear from Chris Johnson a little bit later on. That's just one about, you know, here's a guy, back-to-back 30-goal score, and a new role for him now as the number three center. Some injuries in that, and you hope he can find the vintage Nazem Kadri, Ziggy, heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, and it's tough when you bring John Tavares in. You can say that he's been on the third line the last 2 years and he scored 30, but it's definitely cut into his ice time this year with the addition of Johnny Toronto. And it's difficult. You're not going to score 30 every year on that third line. This number that he's at right now, 15 for a third line center, is a pretty good season. So we can't expect him to score 30 in that slot. He does get first unit power play minutes. But yeah, he's kind of struggled of late. Did score tonight, had assist the game before that, but was held off the sheet for five of the previous six games. And he's going to be one of those deciding factors. We talk about those bottom six forwards and how they should be able to outplay Boston Bruins bottom six, and definitely look for him to kind of get the Leafs started.
Well, I haven't heard much from William Nylander, and that's because he really hasn't done a lot offensively. He gets the game tying goal tonight. It's a nice one, only a sixth of the year, which is why we don't hear from him a ton. He had the goal, 19 minutes, 12 seconds of ice time. He led the Leafs with shots on goal. He had seven shots on goal tonight, and a rare, rare appearance by William Nylander postgame.
This game, it seemed like the second was off, but otherwise, how do you just evaluate
it? I mean, I think we got to sharpen up the second period there. That's not okay. We got to be ready for when the second period starts there. And I mean, we let him back into the game, and that's what ended up costing us the game. Yeah, I mean, I think that's what happened. I think we kind of lost focus. That's something that's thankfully it happens here and now than rather than in the playoffs. So something we'll have to work on.
13 games between goals, which matched your longest drive in the NHL. How good did it feel to put one in the net tonight?
Yeah, it was nice. I mean, it's been a while, but the chances have been there, so I wasn't too worried. Rather scored in the playoffs than now. So, it was good.
William Nylander, that last night is key because really he's got to look to salvage his season in the playoffs. I mean, if you're going to get anywhere in the playoffs, you need guys to jump up, and that would be a great time for William Nylander to do that.
Yeah, I mean, if he's saving him for the Bruins, I'm all for that, Gord, but as you know and everyone else does, when you're scoreless in 13, he gets only one in these last five. That's not looking too good. You want guys feeling good about themselves. As we've been saying, you want your goaltender to be rested. You want guys to not be overextended at this point, but you also want your goal scorers to be scoring. And William Nylander so far this season has been somewhat of a disappointment. If you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, you're expecting a guy to come in, and he's one of the best offensive talents in the league with that skill, his shot, the way he can see players on the ice. I'm expecting to see a little bit more of him.
Yeah, you mentioned 15 goals for Nazem Kadri. He's at less than a 12-goal pace, William Nylander, the way things have gone. We'll hear from Chris Johnson. We'll hear from Mike Babcock. We'll play the highlight, the goals of the game. Much more coming up. It is a 5-4 shootout loss for the Toronto Maple Leafs against the Philadelphia Flyers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mike Zigomanis on The Fan.